morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. I'm coming at you this week from Santa Monica, California, but I'll be spending most of it in Portland, Oregon, the other Portland. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn, and thank you for starting your week by listening to my dulcet tones. This episode is sponsored in part by O'Reilly's Velocity Conference. What if they threw a conference and they told you not only where it was, but exactly how fast it was going? That is what Velocity is about. In seriousness, it talks about cloud native, about what it's going to take to modernize organizations in a rapidly transforming cloud landscape. You can learn new skills and approaches and technologies for building and managing large-scale cloud-native systems. You can connect with other people who are doing these same types of things. This is going to be in Berlin from November 4th through the 7th. If you go to velocityconf.com/AWS and use the discount code AWS, you'll get a bunch of money off, 20% to be precise. Go see other podcast guests from this and other podcasts, including Jennifer Davis, Liz Fong Jones, Heidi Waterhouse, and many more. It's not just people who have droll things like me to say, it's people who actually know what they're doing. Once again, that's velocityconf.com/AWS, and thank you to Velocity for their sponsorship of this ridiculous podcast. So what happened last week in AWS? Excellent question. Amazon CloudFront announces its first edge location in Portugal. If you think it takes a long time to deploy to one of those suckers, just wait and see how long it takes to build one of them. Amazon's EC2 fleet functionality is now available via EC2 autoscaling in AWS GovCloud. Yes, it's a second bite at the same apple. When things come to GovCloud, it happens a little bit later, but you get to hear the same jokes again. A month or so ago, they announced EC2 hibernation support for Ubuntu and Amazon Linux 1, and I mentioned, oh, someday maybe it'll come to Amazon Linux 2. A bunch of you yelled at me and said, don't be ridiculous, it already does. Not true, as it turns out, because this week they announced that Amazon EC2 hibernation is now available on Amazon Linux 2. Ha! Amazon EKS adds support to assign IAM permissions to Kubernetes service accounts. Finally, you can start getting a little bit closer towards a principle of least privilege when running Kubernetes. But why would you start following best practices? Because you're already running Kubernetes. Speaking of, EKS now supports Kubernetes version 1.14, which I am told by people who care about such things is a big deal. Amazon FSx for Lustre reduces minimum file system size to 1.2 terabytes, down from, I believe, 3.6, but don't quote me on that. Exciting, no? You only have to pay for 1.2 terabytes minimum is never a great feeling when you're charged by the gigabyte. Amazon Pinpoint adds support for the APNS push type header in Apple Push Notifications service. That sounds incredibly boring. Why would I bring up a weird header change to a service that almost no one uses? I'm glad you asked. This is because of a new change Apple is forcing in iOS 13. This is why you're about to start getting a whole bunch of alerts from applications you would not expect to see alerts from. Things no longer get delivered quietly in the background if they don't adjust to this change. Amazon QuickSight announces favorites, anomaly alerts, and no customers yet. Amazon SageMaker GroundTruth now supports private worker throughput worker logs and metrics. Yes, private worker throughput worker. That sounds like it was named by the same person that named Systems Manager Session Manager. Amazon SageMaker now supports accelerated training with new, smaller FSx for Lustre file systems. So, yes, feature one, they made the file system smaller. Feature two, something else can use that smaller file system. Doesn't that feel a little bit like two bites at that same apple? It does to me. SQS now supports VPC endpoints in GovCloud. Exciting, exciting. SQS is one of those early, original services that didn't quite get the same level of love and attention for a long time and is now coming out of its long hibernation with exciting, advanced, bleeding-edge things like GovCloud. Amazon Textract is now available in EU London region, but after Brexit, no one will be able to afford to eat, by all accounts, so text extraction from images is likely to not be the top of anyone's mind. There was an EFS price reduction for infrequent access storage, and in typical Amazonian fashion, I had to spend a solid day figuring out how this was going to potentially damage your bill. I don't think it will, but we're going to have to take a look, because they didn't mention anything, and Amazon always gives with one hand while slapping you with the other. AWS Glue is now available in the AWS Middle East Bahrain region, yet again turning a "we were slow to launch" announcement into something they can be proud of. This episode is also sponsored in part by Logic Monitor. Are you moving to the cloud? Perhaps you're already there. If you're listening to this show, one of those should probably be true. LM Cloud from Logic Monitor can help you maximize your investment in AWS. Save time and resources with Logic Monitor's automated discovery, pre-configured logic modules, built-in alert thresholds, and out-of-the-box dashboards. With Logic Monitor, you can get visibility into your cloud workloads alongside your legacy on-prem environments, provided the raccoons have not carried them off into the wilderness yet, thus giving you a single pane of glass into when that happens. If you want to learn more about how LM Cloud can make your team more efficient and effective, check them out at logicmonitor.com. That's logicmonitor.com. AWS Serverless Application Repository is now available in GovCloud? Okay, that sounds like something that people will be champing at the bit to ignore. AWS Systems Manager Automation now supports additional queuing. That's right, you have to wait in line to figure out what the next ridiculous Systems Manager service is going to be. For clarity, I love the Systems Manager suite of services and despise the name, and am going to keep taunting them until they fix it. Memcache 1.5.16 is now available on Amazon ElastiCache, which is apparently not Redis. There's a new 3-day classroom course, Advanced Developing on AWS. This works terrifically well for people who aren't me, because I don't have an attention span to compose a tweet, let alone sit through a 3-day course. But people who've gone through it, or the internal equivalent at Amazon, rave about this. Might be worth looking into. You can use AWS config rules to automatically remediate non-compliant resources. I was under the impression that that existed already, but it's nice to know that now you can have yet another thing randomly turning things off and claiming credit for it in your accounts. Wonderful. WorkDocs Drive enables custom drive letter, which is an exciting feature for those listeners who were in 1998, when being able to assign a custom drive letter to something in Windows was a neat feature. Here, in 2019, no one really cares anymore, as best I can tell, and why they would announce that, oh, by the way, it didn't do this until now, always strikes me as a little bit weird, but so does WorkDocs across the board. This is what happens when a service has no customers. You can use the AWS Config Auto Remediation feature to enforce Amazon S3 bucket compliance. This is another day, another attempted remediation of the S3 bucket negligence awards for various companies to completely ignore. There was a demo on how to add DNS filtering to your NAT instance with Squid, which is fantastic because if there's one thing you want from a high-level service provider, it's being told to use Squid to wind up doing anything slightly complex. Welcome to 2019. And lastly, Amazon has published a post-mortem of an EC2, EBS, and RDS service event in the EU West region from early on in August. This is well worth taking a look at, seeing how cascading failures can take things down, looking at how things that we take for granted may fail, and no, I'm not going to make fun of Amazon for this one. I want to encourage this type of behavior. When things break, the more we understand about how they fail and how service outages wind up manifesting, the better we can internalize how these things are built and design applications to be more resilient. I'm a tremendous fan of them getting things like this out, and they get a free pass anytime they want to have a discussion about what caused an outage. That wraps up what happened this week on the AWS Morning Brief. I am Cloud Economist Corey Quinn, fixing horrifying AWS bills that are both too large and too complicated for people's liking. If that sounds like you, please feel free to get in touch. You can learn more about me and the other various nonsense that I do at lastweekinaws.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you next week.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.